nothing is impossible. But without God, nothing is possible. Brothers and sisters, we are living in a time period right now where it's in the balance. Some people are never going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and some people are. It's our responsibility to live for Him on a daily basis. Enough of this me culture. It's got to be God being glorified and honored. So message this morning, here I am, send me. If you'll put that slide up for me, I'd greatly appreciate it. Turn to Isaiah chapter number 6. Here I am, Lord, send me. Isaiah chapter number 6. Very common passage of scripture that a lot of people have read and a lot of people have heard probably hundreds of messages on this passage of scripture. But brothers and sisters, it's got to be about something greater than you and I. Life has got to be better than just pleasing ourselves. It has got to be more than just finding glory and making ourselves happy. There's got to be more to life than that. See, because here's the problem. If all we concentrate on is just making ourselves happy and just pleasing ourselves and trying to do what fits us, we find ourselves very soon in a quagmire. We find ourselves very soon restless and feeling useless and utterly tired. There's got to be something more. And that more is serving the living and true God. Here in Isaiah chapter number 6, starting verse number 1, it says this. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He says there's two kings he's talking about here. One that has dead and one that is alive. One that no longer ruled and one that continually rules. And he says Uzziah went into the ground, but the true and living God was high and lifted up. Why is God high and lifted up? Because he is worthy of our worship. Why is God high and lifted up? So that we can look up to the heavens and see the glory of what God's created. Why was Uzziah buried? Because he was dead. He was no longer living. He was alive. He ruled for about 45 years. He was a good king at times. There were things that he did that were wrong. There were things that he did that turned people away from God. But he did just like every other human being is destined to do. He died. And so Isaiah just comes right out and says, listen, Uzziah is dead, but God is alive. How many of you agree that God is alive this morning? Oh my goodness, we got a dead crowd this morning. Let's try it again. How many of you agree that God is alive this morning? He lives in me. Even though it may not feel like it outside, but he is alive. He's the one that's keeping your heart pumping. He's the one that's got the blood flowing. He's the one that's got the synapses going between your brain and everything. Most of you at least. He's the one that's keeping you going. He's making you alive because he loves you. He said, Uzziah's dead, but God is alive. And he is high and lifted up. And then he says this. And his train, not like, woo, woo, that's not what he's talking about. His train is what trailed behind him. His accoutrements filled the temple. And above it, where God was lifted up, above it, the throne, stood the seraphims. And each one of those seraphims, angels, each one of them had six wings. With two, or twain, two, he covered his face. With two of them, they covered their feet. And with two of them, they did fly. Now, could you imagine this? These beings, two wings were covering their face. Two wings were covering their feet. And two wings were flying. You know, how in the world could they fly around without seeing anything? How many of you have a difficulty walking through your house at night when it's too dark? You bump into things. Boom. Oh! How in the world could these angels fly around the throne with their eyes covered with their wings? Think about that for a minute. Because they've been doing it for thousands of years. And God made them to do this.
They were doing what God created them to do. They had no other task but to do what they were doing. May I help you understand something this morning? You were created, boys and girls, moms and dads, grandma and grandpa. You were created to bring glory to God. That's why you were created. You weren't created as an accident. God wasn't up in heaven mixing chemicals and said, "Oops, look what I made." No, you were created fearfully and wonderfully. You are created by God Almighty for one reason, and one reason only: to pay my salary. No! You were created to bring glory to God. Praise His name. We'll say, "Brother Brian, what if I don't want to bring glory to God? What if I don't want to do that? What if I want to make life all about me? What if I want to live my life the way I want to live?" God is so incredible that He allows us to choose. I can't explain why He allows us to choose, but He does. But He says, "I created you to bring me glory." But if you don't, then you have to deal with the consequences from decisions that you make. God didn't intend us to go down the path of wrath. He didn't intend for us to go through the path of garbage and junk and sorrow and pain. Look at me for a minute. I promise you, you live your life to glorify God, you will not suffer unintended consequences. You say, "Brother Brian, I've lived my life for the Lord. I've done things for the Lord, and it doesn't seem to have succeeded." Let me ask you a question. Are you still breathing? Are you in jail right now? Some of you may deserve to be there. Are you in the hospital with tubes running inside of your body right now? Absolutely not. It never fails to pay, bringing glory to God. But I can tell you story after story of people who didn't bring glory to God that where they are right now. Scott, talking about people in jail. That's where they are. Brothers and sisters, bring glory to God. The angels were doing what God created them to do. What about you? Verse number 3. He says, "And one of these angels, they cried unto another one of these angels, and this is what they said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory.'" And here they are flying around the throne. And they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is God Almighty." What a beautiful chorus that must have been. How many of you know what an earworm is? An earworm? It's one of those things when you go to sleep, it crawls into your ear and starts eating your brain. No. An earworm is a song that you hear, a snippet of a song, and it's with you all day long. How many of you have ever had that happen to you before? Yeah. You get up in the morning and you hear a song, and all of a sudden that song just goes, and you're trying everything you can to get rid of that thing, and you can't. You listen to other songs and it doesn't work, and you're like, "Ah!" You know what my earworm needs to be, and your earworm needs to be? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And that's all these angels say. Holy, holy, holy. So they're saying this back and forth to one another. And the posts of the door of the temple, they moved at the voice of Him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then Isaiah takes back over and says, "Then said I, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He realized how holy God really was, and he commits himself and says, you know what? I realize how unholy I am. See, Lord, here I am, send me. The first requirement is to realize who's doing the sending. Who is sending you today in your life? Sending me? Who is it that's directing you? Who is it that's leading you? Who is it that's feeding you your daily life instructions? Who is it that you're following? Isaiah said, I saw God high and lifted up. And when I saw who he really was, I realized who I really am. May I help you understand something this morning? There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none of us better than anybody else. Not a single one of us is higher than anybody else. If I got what I deserved, I would split hell wide open because of my sin. For the wages of sin is death. So if I got what I deserved, I would be in hell. That's my deserve. That's my just deserts. But the problem is, we start to think that we're so much better than everybody else. Well, my skin color makes me better. Or my standing in the community makes me better. Or my ability makes me better. Or my money makes me better. Or I don't do what everybody else does, so I'm better. May I tell you, we're all undone. There is everybody is at the same level playing field. There's nothing that you have done to make you deserve God to forgive you of your sins. Not a cotton-picking thing have you done to deserve anything but hell itself. And when Isaiah saw God lifted up, he realized that, hey, guess what? It's not about me. If I really see God lifted up, I see how holy and wonderful and beautiful he is, I can't help but fall on my hands and knees and say, oh God, I'm a sinner. And that's what Isaiah says. He says, listen, when I realize who God really is, and I see how magnificent he is, and I see who is serving him, I realize I'm unworthy. But I'm glad God doesn't leave us there. I think about the road to Damascus. Who's ever heard the word Damascus before? A man named Saul of Tarshish was on his way to Damascus with a group of men. And they were going with one task. They were going to persecute those who followed Jesus Christ. Now, Saul of Tarshish was an evil man. He killed Christians. He separated families. He put Christians in jail. He took everything they had away from them simply because they claimed Jesus Christ your Savior. Saul of Tarshish was a bad man. How many of you agree Saul is not a good person? Not a good person. He was bad. When people heard he was coming, they scattered. He was even badder than Clint Eastwood. He was bad. And as he was going to Damascus to do what he wanted to do, see, he thought he was really serving God, but he was really serving himself. And as he was going to Damascus to serve himself, he had an encounter with the living and holy God. Now, do you suppose God didn't know what Saul was doing? Do you suppose God was up in heaven thinking, I wonder what Saul's doing today? No. Saul and everything he did, God saw the entire time. So here is bad man Saul from Tarshish. And the God, the holy God, the one Isaiah saw high and lifted up, he sees Saul. And he says, I'm going to destroy him right now. No. What happens? He calls him and says, I want to save you. I have better purposes for you. You know who Saul of Tarsus becomes? The Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, God used to write two-thirds of the New Testament. A bad man who saw God and realized how holy he was. That gives me hope. How many of you are like me and without hope in your own? Woo! I'm ashamed of my past. I'm not happy at all with what I used to do before Jesus Christ saved my sorry soul. But I praise God that he has saved my soul and he's given me hope to serve him in my life. Isaiah, when he saw who God really was, he realized who he really was. And he says, oh God, I'm a man of unclean lips. And oh God, I live amongst a people of unclean lips. So what does God do about it? Get away from me, kid, you bother me. What does God do about it? Look what God does about it here. Verse number 7, number 6, it says, then flew one of the seraphims, the very one that was flying around saying, holy, 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 one of those seraphims, they had a live coal in their hand, which had been taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and he said this to me, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. When God sees who we really are and he sees who we really are and we acknowledge who we really are, God says, I'll forgive you if you'll claim me as your Savior. Isaiah didn't say, I don't want that. No, I want to keep going the way I'm going. Man, I want to be a man of unclean lips. Man, I want to be a wicked, nasty human being. Man, I want to keep on hating you, God. I want to continue going what I want to do, God. No. God said, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to clean you. I'm going to make you what I want you to be. And Isaiah said, give it to me. Now, when that coal hit his lips, I guarantee you it burned. If you've ever been burned before physically, it hurts. I've got a scar right here on my wrist from burning plastic. I was out back when I grew up, you could go out in your backyard and burn garbage legally. And we had burn barrels. And my job was to take the garbage, take that burn barrel, and set it on fire. Well, I was 12 years old. Now, 12-year-old, don't get this idea. I decided that the burning garbage bag that was plastic looked like something I wanted to play with. So I set it on fire and it started melting. I said, wow, that's pretty neat. I took a stick and I grabbed that plastic and I started doing this with it. How many of you realize that's a dumb idea? I did that and a piece of it fell off and right on my wrist. It's right here. You can see the scar. I learned what a burning piece of plastic can do. My mom and dad wasn't home. I started screaming and running around the house. Ah! My sister looked out the door and laughed at me. But I experienced burning. And I'm permanently scarred because of it. When that ember touched Isaiah, it changed him. But it didn't scar him. It saved him. Verse number 7, and he laid it upon my mouth, and he said to me, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. That burning plastic didn't save me. That burning plastic scarred me. But that ember that touched Isaiah's lips, it saved him and took away all his sins. Let me ask you, have all your sins been taken away? I mean, seriously. Are you covered in the blood of Jesus Christ? And your sins have been taken away. Now, here's where we get to verse number 8. And I heard, Isaiah says, I heard the voice of the Lord. And this is what that voice said. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Us? I thought this was God speaking. How in the world is us involved? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Who will go for us? I see you, Isaiah, and I'm calling you. Are you willing to go? Who will go for us? It's impossible to serve God if you've not been called. But the first calling you've got to answer is trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's got to be the first call you answer. God, you're holy and you're high and you're lifted up. God, I want to serve you. And God says, okay, now I'm going to call you. Are you willing to go for me? Look how Isaiah responds. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Now, I really don't like communicating via text. I really don't like communicating via email. And the reason being is because you cannot tell the tone of voice, and you really cannot tell the connotation of the speaker. So let's say that this was a texting between Isaiah and God. And Isaiah says, here I am, Lord. Send me. Or, okay, here I am, Lord. Send me. See, if I texted that between Isaiah and God, God would have no idea what the connotation his voice was bringing out. Here's what I believe Isaiah sounded like when he talked to God. Here I am, God. Send me. There's different ways of saying it. I don't believe that Isaiah was apprehensive. I don't believe he had an attitude. Well, I guess if nobody else will go, God, you can send me. No, I think his attitude was one of surrender because he realized who God was, he realized what God had done, and he realized that God had called him. Now see, here's the scary thing for some people. Well, I don't want God to call me because he calls me. That means I've got to go to Africa, or that means I've got to go to South America, or that means that I got to go and do this, what's a good unpleasant thing to do. That means I can't do what I really want to do, so I really don't want to go and do what God wants me to do. Let me ask you a question. Have any of you been called to those areas lately? Here I am, Lord, send me. How about being sent to your house? How about being what God wants you to be in your home? Being the best wife that you can be. The best husband that you can be. The best child, the best father, the best son, the best daughter. The best grandparent, the best aunt, the best uncle. How about being the best godly worker that you can be? How about being the best godly teacher that you can be? How about to be the best grave digger that you can be? God is not sending you necessarily to Africa or South America, and he may be speaking to some of your hearts, and he's saying, this is what I want you to do. You know what I think he's doing? And I know he's doing. He's saying, go and represent me because I am holy, and this world needs a holy person out there. This world needs somebody to be the light for him out there. Whether it's at the school, whether it's at the office building, whether it's in the store, whether it's at home, whether it's wherever, God needs us to go for him. And when Isaiah realized who was sending him, he couldn't help but say, here I am, Lord, send me. Ho-hum, Brother Brian. Why don't you give us something fun and interesting? Oh, ho-hum, Brother Brian. We've heard this over and over and over again. Why don't you tell us something new? Until you answer this the way God wants, nothing else is going to matter. But here's the interesting thing. You want to talk about exciting. What God asked you to do in the past was good. But he may have something even more exciting for you now. How many can you agree with this statement? I can't do what I used to do. Oh, come on. Some of you aren't hearing me. Let me ask you again. How many of you can say, I can't do what I used to do? Believe it or not, I could dunk a basketball at one time in my life. Yeah. About 80 pounds and 40 years ago, I could dunk a basketball. I could actually get up, and I didn't have Air Jordans. I had Converse. I could get up, and I could dunk that basketball. And I was like, yeah. Now you see me try to dunk the basketball, I'm going to the ER. I know that's silly, but the thing is, as I've aged, I can't do what I used to do. But guess what? God didn't say, I'm done with you as you get old and bald and fat. He says, I'm going to use you where you are right now. Brothers and sisters, if Jesus Christ has saved your soul, he is calling you to be where you are for him. It may not be Africa or South America. It may not be up on this platform. It may not be on an instrument. But it could be at 1275 Fontana Road. It could be your address where you live. It could be your neighbor that needs to see you. It could be that young lady that checks you out at the register of the store you frequent. It could be the person that cuts you off on the road who's from another state. It could be your child, your spouse. Somebody needs you to be what God has called you to be. And by the way, just coming on Sundays and Wednesdays isn't the only thing God's called you to do. He's called you to live for him every day of your life, bringing him glory. Therefore, whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Here I am, Lord. Send me. How about it this morning? Can you say that honestly this morning? Here I am, Lord. Send me. That's what he wants. And the great thing is, he says this, lo, I am with you always. I can do all things for Christ that strengthens me. Brother Brian, I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't. But you can do something for the Lord. How about it? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Let's all stand together this morning. That song Shay sang this morning, God Help Me. The singer, the writer of that song, they simply asked, God help me to move. God help me to go. God help me to do what you've called me to do. Will you pray that prayer this morning? We just simply say, God, help me to be what you want me to be. That's my prayer. Is that yours? And surely, if you'll come, I'm just going to ask Miss Shirley to simply play. A time of invitation. Whatever God's drawing you to do, I'm going to invite you to do that. It may be to come up here and pray. It may be come up here and want somebody to pray with you. It may be whatever. It may be where you're standing to make an altar. But He's calling you. If you belong to Him, He's calling you. And it's time to say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. And God, I've simply shared what your word has clearly said. Here I am, Lord. Send me. I know that you're not done with me because I'm still alive. Thank you, God, for using me in spite of me. Help me be the man of God, the husband, the father, the pastor that you want me to be. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Place me. Use me for your honor and glory. In Christ's name I pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just simply respond as God is asking you to do. Whatever He's leading you to do, join the church, recommit your life to the Lord, make it a public, surrender, baptism, whatever. I invite you to come, and come now. Whatever He's asking you to do this morning.